How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places, a blessing in Him. Long before He laid earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it. This message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Wonder how long he'll stay in that. Yeah. Wow. I guess that's the gift for the person who has everything, huh? Or maybe not. It's interesting, isn't it, the things that we end up buying, you know, at Christmas? I don't know about you, but there comes this point near the end of the frenzy where you have this person that you need to buy for and you have no idea what in the world you're going to get. And sometimes it has to do with the fact that you really don't know them very, very well. And so you think of one thing, you go, well, no, I'm not sure how they would take that. And so you buy something that's, well, it's safe. You know, you get them a gift card. Because, you know, everybody can use a gift card. But trying to figure out exactly what to get is kind of a difficult thing. I want us to look this morning at the passage of Scripture that you heard just a few moments ago, that talks to us from Paul's perspective about the great gifts that are ours in Christ, the gifts that He's given to us. We think of this little baby, don't we? Well, that's the gift of Christmas. No. If that's what you think Christmas is, then you're missing the boat. Christmas is so much more. In fact, Paul is so excited that all of those words that I read, that you heard me reading a moment ago, if you looked at them in the Greek, you would discover that they are one sentence, one long, long, long run-on sentence that goes on and on and on. Paul is kind of like a kid who's got this great gift for Christmas, and he just can't quit talking about it. He does this, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this. And you're like, take a breath for crying out loud. But they keep going and going. Paul is just so excited. He can't quit talking. He uses in the introduction, the opening words, and it's kind of hard to hear it in the message, but he uses this one word three times. He said, you know, blessed are we because of the blessings that we've received in Christ, that we can bless God because we're so blessed. I mean, he uses this word blessing, blessing, blessing over and over again. He wants us to understand these incredible gifts that are ours in Christ. One of the main things that he wants us to understand, and one of the great gifts that he gives to us, One of the things that Paul lifts up in this passage a number of different times, it's this idea of being chosen. I remember when I was growing up, we had just moved to the States, been here probably 7 or 8 months, and I'd been in school 2 or 3 months, and they were selecting teams for PE, and they had learned that Stephen knows absolutely nothing about American sports, that he is a terrible baseball player because he hits the ball and watches to see if it's good enough to run for. Because that's what you do in cricket. And so, you know what happens, don't you? I was the one left at the end. Oh, no, you can have him. No, you can have him. It's really nice. It's really nice, though, isn't it, when you get chosen? When you see your names in lights, when you realize that someone has picked you or you have been picked for something. And Paul, in these words, wants us to understand that we have been chosen. We've been chosen, it says, to be holy and blameless, or whole and holy. We've been chosen to be in relationship with God. And immediately, that's the only way that we can be that we can be chosen to be holy and blameless is if God is going to do something to help that happen. And that's this next gift that he lifts out. He talks about, in him we have redemption, forgiveness of our sins. See, one of the gifts that we are given at Christmas is forgiveness. Forgiveness. The things that we have done, the mistakes that we've made, the ways in which we have walked in opposition to God, or the terrible things that we've done to others, that those things are wiped clean. That we can be blameless. That we can be forgiven for those places in which we failed and messed up. And the misdeeds, as it says in the message when we were reading a moment ago. That we can be forgiven. That you and I can be forgiven. That we can be redeemed. As another word, going back to this idea of being chosen, he uses this word that, and I want to read it from the New International Version. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters. It reminds me of another verse in 1 John chapter 3 where it talks about how God has lavished his love on us, and that we should be called sons and daughters of God. But that's what we are. We're sons and daughters of God. We're in his line. We're a part of his family. What a gift to think that we're not on the outside looking in, that we can be a part of that inner circle, that we can be a part of his family. Christmas, we're given the gift of forgiveness. We're given the gift of being chosen and adopted into his family. But this run-on sentence is not done. Paul's not done talking about the different things that we can get. He goes on and he talks about the fact that that we're included. Now you say, well, I thought you said it, chosen. Yeah, but there's a phrase in this passage that I thought was kind of fascinating. In the message, you put it this way. It said, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. It reminded me of another passage in John chapter 15 where Jesus, and he says these words, he says, I have called you friend. Because a friend knows, I'm going to share with you what's going on in my life, because a friend shares that. That you're a part. You're not on the outside looking in. You are a part. You're included. You're included in this family. You're a friend. And then he goes on and he says, at the end of this. Diatribe, these words that he just can't quit saying. He says, and besides all this, you're going to be given the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. It's like, what I, all these gifts that I'm giving you, there's so much that, but there's more. There's more to come. So much more. There's an inheritance for you. Something that's coming. forgiveness, adoption, inclusion, chosenness. More than you can imagine, sure beats some of these gifts, doesn't it? Even the sauna suit, or whatever that thing is. Yeah, the sauna suit. It beats them all. But there's something that I noticed in this passage that I want to spend just a few minutes talking about, because I think it's the most vital thing that Paul shares in these words. It's something that I thought was interesting, because when I went back and looked in the Greek, I discovered that this thought by Paul in this passage is shared 11 times. 11 times. Isn't that interesting? Here we are at the outset of 2011, and here Paul shares something 11 times with us that he wants us to get. He wants us to understand about these gifts. Something that really brings value and depth to these gifts. You see, the truth is, forgiveness, adoption, redemption, inclusion, being chosen, all of those things are so much less without our understanding of what Paul is seeking to say these 11 different times. I've been thinking about it, and you're probably wondering, well, why don't you just say it? I'm pausing for dramatic effect, okay? I need you to hear this is important. It's something that if we could grasp, if we could understand, it would change our lives. It's something that Paul shares over 140 times in all of his writings. Let me go back and read the first verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I think there's an interesting point in that verse, because that phrase, that thought is given in that verse the first time, not the last, because like I said, it was 11 times. Think about what he could have said. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing from Christ. He didn't say from Christ, did he? He said in Christ. In fact, if you go back on, you'll say in Him, in Christ, we have redemption. In Christ, we are chosen. In Christ, we are redeemed. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ. Now, maybe you're going, well, okay, what's the big deal? I was trying to understand this myself, trying to grasp this idea myself to communicate it more effectively to you. What does Paul mean when he says that you need to be redeemed in Christ? And my thoughts went immediately to Jacob and Michelle. Where's Michelle? Is she in here? She's still in there? Tell Michelle to come out here. I need her help. I'm going to embarrass her now. She has no clue. Michelle? Can you come here, please? You're not in trouble. No, you're not in trouble. Now, I hope she's wearing it. Yeah. Now, I understand that you have a ring on your finger. What is that? It's an engagement ring, right?
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about this idea, what it means to be in Christ. And how the fact that Paul in these words says we are redeemed in Him, that we're redeemed in Christ, that we're forgiven in Christ, that we are blessed in Christ, that blessings are not from Christ, that we're not forgiven as something that comes from Him, but it's something that we find in Him. And I was thinking about your ring. When Jacob gave you that ring, he didn't just give you a ring, though, did he? You got more than a ring. You got Him. Right? In many respects, the ring is a product of Him giving Himself to you, not the other way around. And I think maybe if we could understand, thanks. I think if we could understand what I'm trying to say is that, like in this situation, there's no way she would have that ring if she didn't take that guy, right? You don't get an engagement ring without the hunk that goes with it. You don't get an engagement ring without the guy. That's the way it is. And the same is true. You don't get forgiveness. You don't get redemption. You don't get blessings without Christ, because they are not something that we get from Him. They are something we get in Him. I remember when I was growing up hearing a guy speak, and he was talking and about in the church so often, and maybe you've seen this happen. Have you seen? I'm just going to kind of pretend like I'm an old-time preacher. All right, just for a second. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I am a preacher, so it's okay. All right? But you know, you'll have some guy and you say, you need to come down here to the altar and you need to get some forgiveness. And so what do? We run down to the altar and say, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. So do you need power this week? Why don't you come down to this altar and get some power? Why don't you come and kneel down here and God will pour His power into you? And you know, and he was making the statement, says, you know, we come and ask God to give us these things. We ask Him to give us all this stuff when what He wants to do is to give us Himself. For in Him is all the power that we'll need. In Him is all the redemption that we need, all the love that we'll need, all the grace that we'll need. In Him. So here again, this word from Paul, this run-on sentence. And notice with me as I read, because even in the English, it doesn't come through quite 11 times, but it comes through quite a few. Even as I read, notice how Paul is wanting us to understand that these blessings that are ours in Christ, not from Him. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will in according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Amen. In Him.
Aren't you glad that our God didn't give us a gift card?
I mean, it never ceases to fail that every Christmas it comes around, and you're like, oh, what should we get him? Ah, we can give him a gift card. It's like
the one thing that is universal that everybody can want and get because they want it because they can actually get what they want, you know? But I'm probably going to offend a lot of you in here. But I'm okay with that. Gift cards can be pretty unthoughtful. It's thoughtful,
but it's unthoughtful.
Have you ever had somebody give you a gift that when you got it and you open it up, you're like, wow,
they really thought of me?
I can give you some examples of the gifts that I've given this Christmas, but they're not really those gifts. How true it is, she's saying. Yeah. But you can give a gift card and not know somebody. Gift cards, it's one of those things to where you don't have to know them because they're just going to use it. You could be kind of detached from this person and still give them something and they'll be happy with it. Our God, in what He's given us, He didn't give us a gift card. He knew us intimately. He knew exactly what you needed. He knows exactly what you need in this coming year. And He's already given it to you. He's already given it to me. There's two parts of giving. There is the put it in a box, wrap it up, and give it to somebody. And then there's a second part. It's receiving it. Saying, thank you for the gift. Like that man hug that we had, that special moment. You're welcome. It's saying, thank you for that gift, and it is taking it, it is receiving it. And I think that's where we, as God's people, have a hard time with it. One, I don't know if we fully recognize all that God has given us. Two, how can we receive it if we don't recognize all that God has given us? In this year, okay, I don't know how many of you guys made New Year's resolutions. New Year's, did you? Yes? Okay, no? Nah, I gave that up 10 years ago. Yeah, maybe more. No, a little less. But we have these New Year's resolutions, and we think that we want to live in these new ways and do these new things, and we truly want to do that. Don't you want to truly live and know what God has given you and accept that and receive that for this coming year? Yeah, totally. But will you? Will we live this next year in doubt of what God has given us? But we think, well, we refer to it as a card that maybe perhaps has insufficient funds on it. Or will we live in this relationship with Christ, in Christ? Being able to acknowledge that every step of the way, He has given us what we need. Every Sunday, and I kind of begin it like that every Sunday, we participate in communion. Every Sunday. I'm so happy about that, by the way. For me, man, I was worried about it when we first started talking about having communion every Sunday in Aldersgate, because I'm like, that reminds me of when I grew up in church going with my parents, and it was just routine and empty and everything. But man, it hasn't been that way for me. Every Sunday that we come together and I receive communion, it's like this opportunity for me to receive another outpouring of God's grace, to acknowledge who I am yet again, who God is for me, for us. Let me read this to you, okay? It was read earlier. It's out of the message. It's Ephesians 1, starting at verse 7. It says this: because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. For so many people, the beginning of a new year is the beginning of new things. It's letting go of the old. It's saying, 2010, 2011, here I am. You guys have been given, through what we have and what we're participating in here, freedom. And not just a little bit of freedom. Not just like forgiveness of some of your sins. Forgiveness of all of your sins. Everything. So that like you can let go and move forward. But none of those things happen via gift card. Those things happen in Christ. Those things have happened in relationship with Christ. And in that relationship you find freedom. And there's one more verse I want to read to you, okay? Let's see. That's not it. Verse 11. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. This morning, as you come forward, for those of you who would, and receive communion, my prayer for you is that you would, on a deeper level, find out who you are. The depth of who you are, that you are a person who's forgiven. That you are adopted. If you don't have family, you have family in Christ. That you are redeemed. That you are forgiven. That you are free. It's not just some lofty thought. It's a reality brought to us through Christ on the cross. So as you come forward, it's this simple going through the motions thing, but please don't make it going through the motions. You pick up the bread and you dip it in the juice and you eat it. But that bread represents what Christ has done for us. It represents that intentionality behind it. It represents that depth. It represents you being worth every bit of it. And you take that bread, that broken bread, and you dip it in the juice. That juice representing Christ's blood poured out for you, for forgiveness of sins, for relationship, making a way for you and me to be in relationship with God. Amazing thing. Heavenly Father, we give you this morning, Lord. God, would you help us as we come forward to receive what you have given? God, this gift you have packaged nice and neat, and it is so full of relationship. It is so full of knowing exactly what we need for this coming year, for life. Would you help us to receive it? Would you help us to acknowledge, God, that we are forgiven? Would you help us to see once again, maybe on a deeper level this morning, who we are and what our life is supposed to be all about? Amen.